Well, good morning again, Saints. Good to be at church with you today. And yeah, harvest dinner today. And let me encourage you a little bit. If you didn't bring anything for that, there's plenty here for each of us to participate in that. And I don't know if Brian might be over that way. I wanted to encourage Brian that three times last week I reminded everyone to bring desserts. That's something that's on Brian's heart all the time. There he is. Yeah, three times, Brian, I did. Three, and then I gave you credit, too, in all of them. So let's open God's Word together this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. That's what we're going to be looking at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. We're returning back to the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been off 5 weeks, been doing some different kind of things. Had the India Partners here last week, and then I was doing a wedding down south the week before. Pastor Tom Great, that very encouraging message on just dealing with our heart and being, maybe the word depressed might be strong or whatever, but just down. Great message. If you didn't hear that, I'd encourage you to get that. That was back there at the table. So we're opening our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 16. I'm letting you get a little time, get your stuff together there. As we begin, let me just tell you something right off the get-go, okay? Right off the get-go, the section of Scripture that what we're going to look at is not about whether the women of this church today should or shouldn't wear head coverings. It's not about that. That's not what the text is about. It's not about whether the women of today in the church should wear head coverings or not. This is what it's about. It's about whether we understand and honor God's order for men and women. That's what the text is about. It's whether we understand and honor God's role for us as men and women. The whole passage is about submission and authority. That's what it's about, what Paul is teaching. Now, let me remind you, Paul's answering questions. That's what he's doing to the Corinthians. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 7, 1. It says this, Paul writes, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote." He's still answering the things that he wrote. He's still in that context answering the questions that they wrote to him and said, "Paul, what about this and what about that?" And there's a communication going on between Paul and this church. A lot of communication going on. So chapter 7, if you remember, the questions were about married, being married or being single. And they didn't have any clue what God's purpose or plan for marriage was. They didn't have any order going on. They didn't have any understanding going on. They had no idea of God's way of marriage. And so they're asking. They had questions like this. Okay, so since we're in Christ, and Paul, you said it's better to be single in a certain sense. Should I leave her so I can be single and it'd be better? Well, no. But they're asking questions, and Paul is answering in the letter, and we glean the questions as we've been studying. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 were questions about our freedom in Christ to choose how we would live. We went all through that. You've been set free in Christ, the doctrine of freedom in Christ, no longer slave to sin, free to live for the Lord, free to serve Christ, honor Christ. But he said, don't let your freedom, your choices that you make, be a stumbling block to your brother, because love edifies. We went through all of that. They didn't understand that. And then don't let your choices that you have, your freedoms in Christ, hinder the gospel in any way. And we looked at all of that. In fact, he said, give up your rights, your freedoms, for others to see Christ. And we looked at all that they didn't understand. And he was answering questions that they had. And he said, the basic premise is, see that all of our lives, all of our behaviors, all of our choices are to be to the glory of God. They're to display the character of God. You know, my choices, your choices, the way we live, the way we act, our behaviors, our lives, what we choose upon, what we look upon, what we work, and how we do, all of our lives are to be to the glory of God. They're to represent, they are to display the character of God. You could put it this way, you and me and the body of Christ are to be the representatives looking like the person of Christ in the earth. That gives glory to God. We represent the person of Christ and all that he is and was when he was here. His love, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, all the things of Christ were to represent that. And if you look at 11:1, he ended it with this. In 11:1, he said, be imitators of me just as I am of Christ. And so that ended that for us. Now, verses 2 through 16, he's answering another question. That's what he's doing. So we have to glean the question. We have to see what Paul is answering. It's about the principles of living that they have no real handle on. So listen to the passage. Let's begin in verse 2. Look what he says. So Paul writes, now, the now there in the Greek is a different subject is coming up. Now, I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold to the traditions or hold firmly to the traditions just as I deliver them to you. So Paul starts with this, hey, I'm glad you asked me for counsel. I'm glad you asked questions from me. I'm glad that you remember the things that I taught you, that you hold on to the traditions once delivered. You want to know, those two words are together in original language. He's talking about the doctrines that you understand, that you know. I'm glad you hold to the basic doctrines of Christ and of salvation and of who God is. You hold to those foundational doctrines. That's what he does. I'm glad that you're asking me counsel about these questions. And he goes on, the basic problem in this church is not foundational doctrine, but morals. And we've looked at that many times. Not theology, but lifestyles. They know about Christ. They know about their salvation. They know who God is. Remember, it's 54 AD. They know about God's work and God's nature. Paul commends them about those things. That's in verse 2. But they struggle with living godly lives. And so he confronts with them with about how they're living their life. And we're looking to glean the question. Stay with me, and this is what it is. Look at verse 3. This is what he says. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that man is the head of a woman, and that God is the head of Christ. Did you hear what he just said? I want you to understand something you don't understand, something of that's not tied to the basic foundational doctrines that you have already understood. I want you to understand this. Here's the problem. He's gleaning for us what their question is. They don't understand authority and submission. You guys have captured the doctrines that I've taught. You've hold to them. You're asking me things, but here, I want you to understand authority and submission. That's what he's talking about. They don't understand that, and it's in reflecting in their choices that they follow. And so then he goes on and gives us the thing in their choices that they don't follow. Listen to what it says, and let's glean the question that they have for Paul. Verse 4, every man who has something on his head while praying and prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one of the same of a woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off and her head shaved. Let her cover her head. Verse 7, for a man ought to not have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman, for as woman originates from man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. Verse 13, he says, judge for yourself. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her? For her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined, listen to this, verse 16, to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor has the churches of God. So you have to glean the question that they have for him. Obviously, it has something to do with head coverings. And they're writing to him, asking him about these. And you get a key from verse 16. Look at it again. There in this church are some women that are contentious. The word there means fond of strife. The first, or to fight or to revolt over something. In this society, listen to me, you have to research this out, but in this society, in this culture at this time, a veil or some kind of head covering, listen to this, was regarded by the people as common, ordinary, and customary. All the women wore them. It was a symbol of modesty. It was a symbol of submission. It was a symbol to that society as women were seen as submissive and modest and feminine. She covered her head in public assembly. This is their culture. This is their world. This is what they're writing it to. This is what's happening in that world right then. This is what's going on. It's accepted, it's common, and it's ordinary. Removing the covering in public made a statement, made one of two statements. Either you're a feminist making a protest, throwing off your veil, shaving your head, saying, I don't agree with established authority, or you're a prostitute. That's the culture that you got to stay with this, because you got to put yourself in that. That's the way that culture, that world, I mean, all of it was going on. And if you threw off your veil covering or you shaved your head, you're making one of two statements. You disagreed with how the order that was going on there. You disagreed, oh, we're all equal. Nobody's in submission to each other. We're not modest. Femininity was even being put down, or the other one, that's how prostitutes went around, because if you had a veil on and you had it all covered up, how could you ever make a living, right? That's what's going on right there in that culture. So the church ladies are throwing off their veils. We're equal in Christ. We got Christian liberty. Same thing we're talking about, what we've been talking about. This is what's going on. I'm not going to wear my veil. I'm freedom in Christ. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I have the freedom not to wear the veil. This is going on. The church writes Paul, hey, what do we do? How do we honor God? We'd understand in Christ, the women are equal to us in all the things that God would say in all of that. And we are. But this is going on, Paul. We don't know how to address this. Do we let them not wear them? Do we just go with that? What do we do? He answers. Before we get to the answer, I want to illustrate something. Gina Day is going to come up here. And Gina's going to show us what she went to India here recently. Was that in June? Yes, June. Yeah, we remember how much Josh suffered as you were in India. So Gina would wear this when she went to India a lot of times. Why don't you tell us a little bit, why did you wear that when you were there?
So culturally in India, you often cover your head in a place of worship. In the area I was with Christians, they still covered their head. So anytime we walked into church for worship or anytime we prayed, we quickly did this. And we would wear it throughout the service or throughout the prayer. And I asked some of the women why they chose to do this. And lots of it, just having this on them all the time, is modesty. But when it comes to worship, it was an act to prepare their heart that they were physically doing to say, I'm ready for worship. And so kind of like when we worship with song, that's something we're doing to prepare our hearts. It's something they're doing to physically demonstrate that their hearts are prepared.
Let me ask you, did you have to do it when you were there?
If I wouldn't have done it, they probably would have wondered why. But they never asked us to do it. We tried to adapt to their culture so that we weren't a stumbling block in doing our customs, because we're in their environment, not ours.
So you chose to do it?
Yes,
really,
happily.
You chose to do it out of love, out of honor, out of the things, right, that you just chose. Your freedom in Christ, you could have went and you not, but you chose to, right?
Right. Right.
All right. Doesn't Gina look beautiful? Thank you, Gina. But I wanted her to come up and show you, and so you can kind of see what that is, and you can see that was what the culture wore. And then so what Paul is addressing, what's going on, is the church isn't, the ladies are like, nah. And they're like, Paul, what do we do? Well, see, he just doesn't want to put in the Bible, well, you know what, wear your head covering. He wants you to understand why you wear your head covering in that culture and that kind of thing. He wants us to understand as a church in the body of Christ, what are the foundational principles to authority and submission, to giving honor, to femininity, to submission, to modesty, to those kind of things. You know, again, 54 AD, a couple of New Testament things written. This church is a year and a half, well, about 3 years old, 4 years old at this time. They got some foundational doctrines. They don't know how the lifestyle. So, Paul didn't want to just answer, well, put the head covering on, tell them knock it off. He wanted to teach for us to understand, because he doesn't want to set a list of rules. He wants us, me and you, to understand the principles of God and then apply them to all of our life. I think it's an incredible thing. Wearing the veil then made a statement to their culture that they recognized that a woman is to be modest and be in submission under authority. So you'd want to understand God's order of that so you would fall into that. Think about, it's kind of hard. There's not a whole lot in America that's like that, but let me give you one that was different 20 years ago. You know what? Men used to open the door for women. Women, you're supposed to say amen. Women, men used to open the door all the time for women. I remember being younger, we had a restaurant, and the men would open the door, and they'd be going in. Well, you know what messed that up? It doesn't happen as much. I want to do that all the time for Krista and do that because there's an honor there. There's a respect there. And then when she lets me open the door, there's a transition there. It reflects something. But you know what messed that up? Women saying, you don't need to open the door for me. I can open the door. Well, of course you can open the door. Nobody's saying you can't open the door. You're more than welcome, and you're totally, you know, go ahead. You want to open it for me? I'll go in. Okay, fine. But what it is an attitude that comes along that says, well, you know what? I'm totally capable of doing that. Well, no one said you weren't. But what we're reflecting is God's principles in the way we live. But when that's battled by one or other of the sexes, then it's hard for us to reflect that. That's what Paul is addressing here. Now, we got to move quickly through this. I can kind of see the time. We got to move quickly because we have a lot of ground to cover, so I wrote you a pun here. So hang on to your hats, okay? First of all, Paul states the principle. Look at verse 3 with me again. Look at it, what he says. He says this, but I want you to understand. Okay, this is what God wants us to understand, that Christ is the head of every man. The man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. He wants us to understand the principle of authority and submission. That's what he wants them to get, what they really don't get. First, Christ is the head of every man. Jesus stated that in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. In Ephesians 1, all things have been put in subjection under the feet of Christ. Church, give me an amen. He is the head of the body of Christ, the church, right? He's our Lord, our authority, and one day everyone will give recognition to his authority in heaven and hell. The problem right now is most people don't give recognition to the authority of Christ. They're not in submission of Christ. Our salvation, listen to me, our Christianity is based upon submission to Christ. If you haven't submitted to Christ, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't said he's Lord, Savior, you are not saved. That's the Bible. It's about surrender. He is Lord and Savior. I've given my life to Christ. He came to save me, rescue me. However that works in understanding of that, you give your life to Christ. You recognize that he is sovereign authority over your life. That's salvation. That's God's order. The principle of submission and authority, listen to this, pervades the entire universe. Start to finish. Start to finish. Listen, God is the head of Christ. Christ submitted himself to the Father. That's what he's trying to teach. Jesus said, John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. He said in John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative, but I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And we all know Philippians 2:7-11, where Christ is in submission to God, so much so a bondservant to where he's willing to go to the point of death to give his life. He's submitting to the Father's will. Christ is in submission to the authority of his life, God the Father. Listen to this. If Christ had not been in submission to God, there's no redemption. That's a pretty big effect, wouldn't you say? Cause and effect there, no submission to the Father, no redemption. Listen to this. If you and me or anyone else does not submit to Christ as Lord and Savior as their head, there's no salvation. That's a pretty big effect. And if men and women do not submit to God's order in our life, what happens? Families and societies are out of order. They're disrupted. They're distracted. They're destroyed. And wouldn't that be our world? And it's about an authority and submission issue. It's about embracing what God has for us in his order. The third part of it is man is the head of a woman. That's all he's trying to teach. Submission and authority are indispensable elements to God's order and plan. It doesn't mean anyone is lower than anybody else. It doesn't mean that somebody is higher or better. It's just order. Man's way, listen to this, man's way has completely corrupted God's plan and order for men and women. The whole world tells you, women, if you submit to something as an authority, you are less of a person. God says you're not. God says it's my way. This is how it works. And if you will follow, I remember I was talking to a lady in the church, and she was just talking about being at home and ministering to her kids and doing the things that she didn't work. She didn't have these, you know, a job outside of that. And she asked, you think God is honored with all of that? You know, we even talked about rewards in heaven and all of that. And I said, I think it's equally just as important that you do what God's called you to do, that I do what God's called me to do. Because it's what God's called us to do and what he's asked us to live in, what he's asked us to do. And if we are obedient, if we have faith and live to please God. God is pleased, and it's all equal ground. In Christianity, men and women are the equal. They're valued the same. There's an order. Someone is in submission. Someone's in authority because that's how God set it up, so it would work best. But we're all valued the same with the Lord. And what you do and what God's called you to do as a man, or what God's called you to do and you do as a woman, and in submitting and following Christ and submitting into what God has us to do is of equal value. Now let's apply that principle like Paul does regarding the custom at this time of honoring God's order when they have this head covering going on. Look at verse 4 through 6. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. For she is one of the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also just cut her hair off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. Let me illustrate for you. Paul says it's disgraceful to the head for a man to go around. Can you imagine in a culture, here I am, saved, God's come into my life, I got salvation, I'm in this culture where the women have this, right? And I'm a man and I cover my head and I'm walking around telling people about Jesus. You need the Lord, you need Christ, you need to come to faith in Christ, prophesying, proclaiming Jesus Christ, praying, talking to people, say, can we go to God? Let's go to God and pray, talk to God about our situation. Could you imagine what that would have looked like in that society for me to walk around like this? They would have said, look at that nut. That's Christianity. Look at, we have this submission and authority and femininity, and that, you know, the females look and are modest, and they have, if I dressed like Gina and went there, you know, in that culture, they would have got a little crazy. I'm having a hard time with my whole headset here. But do you guys get the visual? Help me. Do you get the visual? What would that look like in that culture? It would have been totally like, oh, man. And I'm prophesying is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, teaching people about Christ. Praying is about talking to God. And you're in a community, and you got Christ in your life, and you're saved, and their whole community, the women wear the head covering to be modest, to show submission, and to show their feminine side. Here comes Pastor Ken with one on. Hey, we all need Jesus. It just wouldn't work, right? That's what Paul's saying. It would disgrace my head. Whose head would it disgrace? Christ. It would disgrace Christ's head. So he said, women. Women, look, that's what he said. Women, the same thing. A woman shaves her head or doesn't have a head covering and is going around saying, you need Christ. You need Jesus. He saved me. He came. He reconciled me back to God. He's the Savior, the Messiah. He's came to pay the penalty of our sin. You're walking around with your head shaved? The whole society is going to go, what's your problem? Who's your God? You're disgracing your head. You're disgracing the head of your husband. You're disgracing the head of Christ, your head. That's the illustration. That's the application he has. We'll see the church understanding what's going on immediately is going, oh, well, we don't want to do that. So let's apply it in our life today, okay? Let's make this application to our life. Take submission to Christ. You might want to write something down here. What does it look like? What does that look like to be in submission to Christ, men and women, in your dress, in your attitude, in your conduct, in your words, in your work, in the way you live, in your family, in your church? What's it look like? What's it look like in your work, in your conduct, in your attitude, in your dress? In your attitude, I got attitude, I might have to say that twice, right? In the way you work, in your body of Christ, in your family, your submission to Christ, what's it look like? For the man, it looks like head servant, doesn't it? That's what comes to your mind. For the woman, it looks like what? Completer, helpmate, coming alongside, counseling. There's distinct roles. You need to know what it looks like and to be in submission to Christ. Now let me ask you a question. What does it look like, men and women, what's it look like for us to be in submission and authority to each other in the way God has it, in our dress, in our attitude, in our conduct, in our words, in our work, in the way our life is, in our family, in our church? What's that look like? To be in God's order for men and women. Well, it looks like elder leadership, which we have here. It looks like the men are leading the body of Christ in the way. Women do a tremendous amount. They do all these kind of things. They in a sense, lead some ministries under the leadership of men. But what does it look like? I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to pick on anybody, but I want you to just think about this for a moment because I want to set you this in your heart. Does it look like the person that's up here teaching is a woman? Does it look like that? I'm not putting it down. I'm not putting anybody down. But the Bible, it's clear. It doesn't look like that. And we get out of order. God still works. God is above us in all many ways. But we want to reflect what it looks like. That's the point of what you are to understand in this passage. That's what God is wanting to teach the Corinthian church. The context, they have some head coverings on. And it falls into that, but that's what he's wanting them to teach and understand. That's what we want to get. The principles here of submission and authority. Now, Paul defends the principle in verses 7 through 10. Look at it with me. Now, he defends what he just said. This principle in chapter 3, and then them for the head covering, say, or in verse 3, he says this, "For a man ought to have his head covered, since he's the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man does not originate from women, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Now, there is so much there that I could teach a long, long time on that one. All those little different things that are said in there, a lot of different things that you need to work through. But, you know, I concise this really good for us to just, I can't spend all that time on that. This is what it says. That authority and submission was God's plan from the start. God intended it that way, and it's always been that way. It got a little intensified at the fall, but the fall did not change it. God intended roles for men and women to display God's glory of creation is from the beginning, and the realm of the angelic watches and sees us honor God's order or not. That's what that says. It originated in him. It's not from us. It's from him, and it's the intended way that he had it all the time. And, well, we understand how man has messed all that up, and we're battling to keep it that way. Now, as I read 7 through 10, and I studied this, and I've been going through this, it seems to me, as you read that, you might give me a little affirmation on this woman. "For a man ought to not have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from women, but women from man. For indeed a man was not created for a woman's sake, but a woman for man's sake. Therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." You might affirm with me a lot that I read, a lot that I studied. Women right there feel like that is telling them that they're inferior to man. I've read a lot of stuff on this and studied it. Some of the commentaries, if I preached and taught what they went into on the teaching, they went into to defend the equality of women all through the scriptures, take me 5 hours. What they wrote right here after this verse on teaching to defend that women are equal. I love what God does. He gives Paul 2 verses. And that's what this is about. After you read that, and this is originated from God, this is how it is, Paul writes 2 verses to help us remember or understand the equality of men and women. So he harmonizes the principle. Look at 11 and 12. Look at it with me. However, that's important that that's there, however. However, in the Lord, neither woman independent of man, nor is it man independent of women. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. He writes 2 verses to tell us, hey, we're all just on the same plane here, just the order of God. None of us would be here without each other. You get that in there? None of us would not be here. We wouldn't be here. That's how God ordered it, how he worked it. Man and woman, they have children, and we all got here, right? None of us would be here. The whole plan of God would not work without each other. That's what it says in there. We're interdependent. It wouldn't work without God. Our responsibility, and this is our responsibility in it, is to honor God in the order of his plan, much like the body of Christ in chapter 12, verses, when we get to chapter 12, when we start looking at verses 12 all the way through the end of the chapter, when we start talking about how the body of Christ functions, it doesn't work God's other than God's way. It doesn't function properly other than God's way. It is God's plan and purpose. We're just to honor it. And it all originated in God, not us. Men and women are equal before God. It had been planned and purposed that way to give glory to God, to work together well, to be fruitful together in all of this life. But all of us recognize before fallen humanity, it's battled tremendously against. That somehow it has to be different, or it's not fair, or it's not going to... That means we're telling that God's way is not the right way. We're all equal in the Lord. Whatever gifts you have, God wants you to serve with. Shoot, we all own up that all of us married up, amen? We know they're most of the time they have more intellect than us in a lot of things. I'm speaking for the men. You guys can nod, yeah. But it's not about any of that, is it? It's not about what you can do. It's about if you fulfill what God has asked you to do. And that's the battle of the flesh, isn't it? The other side of the men, it's not what we can do. We normally don't fulfill what we can do, and God is battling us to ask us to fulfill what we can do in the sense of what he's asked us to do. We're a little more on the lazy side. They're a little more on the gumption side, right? But you see what Paul is talking about here, understanding the principle and learning and understanding and how this works and doing it rightly and in the Lord's way. Now look at the end of the verse here, or the end of our little passage here. So what's the response? That's the deal of the whole thing. What's your response? What we've been learning here, what we've been going over, looking at this, you guys understand now, this isn't about whether or not you got a head covering on right now. This is about men and women, whether you honor God's order for men and women in the church, in the family of God, in your home, in the world. And understanding the principle, that's how God set it up. And so you want to do that in your life, in your attitude, in your conduct, in your choices, in the way you do, because you want to honor God's order, because we know and we trust and we understand following God's order is the very, very best and brings about God's fruit. It works well together. And each one of us have to deal with our own heart in that, in our own flesh. We understand that. So what's your response? That's the deal. That's what he's talking about in the text. Look at it with me. I need you to answer this. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? In the context that we're looking at and what we're saying, where all of the women have their head covered while they're praying and prophesying and sharing God and that kind of thing, and it shows modesty and femininity and submission. Judge for yourself. Well, in the culture and the way it is, no, it's not. It is today. That's what he's wanting to do. Ask your own heart, ask your own mind. Well, are the things that you're doing, are they honoring the roles that God has in this world for us to honor in his way? Does your life reflect that in the choices that you make? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it dishonors him, but if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her? For her hair is given to her for covering, but if one is inclined to be contentious, that's fond of war. Listen to what he says. We have no other practice. The apostles don't, and the church doesn't have any other practice. We don't buck the system in following God's authority. That's not going to be practiced in the church. The apostle said that we have no other way. He said the church shouldn't have any other way. As we conclude here, let me tell you something. You know, I know many, many women without a husband that doesn't accept the headship that God has given them. And you know what? They work hard. They learn, they grow, they're asking, they're seeking counsel, they talk to people, they're looking at God's word. Now, I know none of the women are perfect. They have all of the things they have in their life, but I know many, many women that want to honor God in the way They submit to the authority of their husband when he's struggling to take the head role that God has given him. I don't know any men that are seeking counsel, that are coming and asking, how do I lead when she's fighting me when I lead? Isn't that kind of interesting? Now, this is not a biblical standard or the Bible, but the simple fact is, men, if you will take the headship role and lead the way God asks you to lead, I've found that most of the time, it works real well in your family. But the other way around is always a battle. When she's trying to do what God has asked her to do in honoring the headship, the authority that God has given her in her life, so it works to honor God, and that guy is struggling in that, it doesn't seem to, a lot of times, draw him into the headship role. It becomes a battle. It works. God asks you to do that, and God works in that and brings him to that. Because today, just as we've kind of went through this, the women are recognizing that, you know, I hope none of you guys don't think, oh, okay, we got to wear a head covering now. But you're recognizing the submission part, and sometimes that's hard to hear, but I wanted to kind of end here with the men. Gentlemen, look at verse 3. But I want you to understand this, okay? Men, I want you to understand this. Christ is the head of every man. God is the head of Christ, and the man is the head of the woman. Understand what God's asked you to do. Understand what God's equipped you to do. Understand what God has gifted you to do. Understand what he wants from you. That means you are to lead, guide, direct the church and your family, that you're to be going somewhere that's supportable. That's what that means. A servant leader. Thank you, Craig. That's what you're to be. The women are depending upon the men in the church to lead the church family. Did you know that? And when we will lead the way God has asked us to lead, they are the completers of all that God is doing in the body of Christ. Let me put it in that kind of language. But when the men in the church struggle to lead in the ministries, lead, showing direction, lead, saying God's going this way in the church, and the women kind of take the leadership in the church, it's out of God's order. And it struggles. Now, men, let me talk to you about that. So, men, when we know guys that are in the body of Christ, in this church, and they're struggling to participate in the work of the ministry of Living Word Fellowship, who has God asked to go come alongside them and encourage them to see their roles that God has ordained for them? You. The men. That's who he said, men, lead. And when you see men struggling with the part in this, go encourage them. I've been encouraged. How about you? Now, men, when we see guys in the body of Christ, men that are husbands, and know in our heart, know in their life, and know them, and see that they're struggling in their headship roles at home, who's to go to them? Men. The women are depending upon us. The wife is depending upon you as a body of Christ and family of God to come alongside that man and say, you know, God has ordained an order for us here for you to be the headship in your family. I'll help you. I'll come alongside. I'll show you God's word. I'll encourage you. I'll call you. I'll talk to you. Because God has an order for us. Because we represent Christ. That's our responsibility in this, man. That's part of what Paul's teaching here. He's going to get into the order of the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about a lot of things there, and we're going to need men for us to understand God's calling upon our life, for us to lead correctly. That's God's order. Let me tell you, when we fulfill the roles God has for us as men and women, God's blessings upon our life. And Paul says at the end of verse 16, we have no other practice. We have no other thing that we do in the church of God than to honor God's order for men and women. Let's pray.